Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. It's great to see you all this morning. And it feels like only a few hours since I was here with Heather and Darcy and Nikki and Rhiannon. And it was, Danielle was over here. So, yeah, should we pray together before we get started? Our Lord God, we just thank you so much for today. Just thank you for one another, for the opportunity to have a good chat together, to catch up on the week and things that are going on in our lives. And we just pray now as we continue to reflect on connecting with culture, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Thank you that you're a God that speaks through your word. The word is Christ, and we just thank you so much for what you've been teaching us this week. Whatever's been going on, just help us, Lord, now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're actually connecting with culture again this week, and I've missed the last few connecting with culture sessions, so I've actually been trying to catch up, and it's been brilliant just catching up with, you know, Vince and James, who was here a couple of weeks ago. Now, if you're not familiar with connecting with culture, James very helpfully mentioned why we do this and was referring to Vince as well in regard to this. And in many ways, having done a book launch last night is really relevant because I recognise that, you know, there's so much culture around us and there's so much that we can kind of learn from, you know, what is happening in our world, whether that be what we're interested in or whether it's the films we watch or, you know, podcasts we listen to. We're a very connected world and there's, you know, culture is every day and, you know, we're constantly connecting with culture. But I think it's good to be able to reflect on that in regard to kind of like how we go about our lives and how about we go our work and what we're doing during the week. And so for that reason, a number of speakers have been talking about different issues on different themes. So if you were here a couple of weeks ago, James was going on a pilgrimage with us, which I found incredibly helpful and insightful. Today, I want to have a show of hands here. How many of you have watched Race Across the World? BBC programme. There's a fair number here, but there's not everybody. All right, so we are going to segue in a minute to the trailer so you get an idea. I just wanted to make a couple of preliminary remarks about what James said, because in some ways there is some overlap with the pilgrimage that we went on. We're going to go in a slightly different direction with this today. I would have, if I was doing pilgrimage, I would have looked at... what's the name of that film? My favourite film? I've forgotten my favourite film. That's terrible. That's age. That's what happens when you're over a certain age. Boris Gump. Thank you. Boris Gump, help. And there's also, yeah, that for me is very much sort of like a pilgrimage film. I was grateful to James for looking at Wild. And what James was doing was he was looking at the Road to Emmaus account with those disciples when Jesus came alongside them in Luke 24. But also, if you want to carry on your reading on culture and pilgrimage, there's actually an excellent book, and this is a plug for what's called The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. Some of you may have read the book. It's actually on film now, and I'm reading it at the moment, and it's an incredible book. And I've suddenly got to the bit towards the end when, honestly, I was knocked out. I didn't realise this is what was going on in his life. So if you can, go on a pilgrimage with Harold Fry. It's definitely to be recommended. The other thing I just wanted to pick about with James was that he was talking about Canada. And actually, when I watched Race Across the World, I thought to myself, you know what? I could quite easily do what James does and maybe backpack or run away to Canada because it looks like an amazing place. So if you haven't seen it, I commend it to you. This is the series that looks at Canada. The two previous series look at some other places. I think Southeast Asia and one other place. I don't know where that was. And I came into it late. So here's the trailer. Just a little kind of like soup song.
Five pairs of ordinary Brits.
I have faith in you.
On an epic journey across Canada.
Love that.
Love that.
Okay, let's do this.
Let's go.
Go, 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 go. You can go
your own way. No phones.
My God, this map goes on forever.
Wow.
We're not going to make it.
No flights.
No.
No luxuries.
We have to get to the checkpoint as quickly as possible.
And no plan.
I don't want to do this.
I've got no idea.
Are your dogs friendly?
Yes.
Are you going to kill us?
No.
Okay.
Ooh, things are heating up.
And we need to be taking this a lot more serious. This is not a joke.
Something you may need, bear spray.
Bear spray?
You just spray it on you like aftershave.
Well, I'm not going out to find a bear.
We're looking to get to Whitehorse today.
It's no holiday.
Good luck.
It's Race Across the World. Watch Wednesday, 22nd of March on BBC iPlayer.
It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next one, and I'm going to go back to the two previous series. Really is fantastic. My only experience of Canada was actually sort of like stopping off at an airport in Toronto and going on to the States from there, and I didn't have the best of experiences, I have to say, but I do know that, you know, that it's a place worth getting to, if, and there, no doubt there will be people here that have visited this wonderful place. So, today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be focusing on another theme, slightly related to pilgrimage, which is running the race. And, you know, there's lots of metaphors about being a follower of Jesus. And I find this an incredibly helpful metaphor as somebody that has done a lot of running in the past, and hopefully a little bit when I do football now. But it's interesting how it does parallel and overlap with the theme of pilgrimage. So if you've got that sermon in your head, this might be helpful too. But just to start with, just by way of just like a little opener in your on your tables, I want you quickly to unpack a couple of questions. Okay, they might be short or long, but just have a couple of minutes on this. Have you ever competed in an athletics race or similar? And if so, did you learn any interesting life lessons from participating? Okay, so have you ever competed? And I would imagine most people here will have competed in an athletics race. But the other thing is, have you learned any life lessons from participating that you've carried forward? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do this, about 5 minutes or so, and then we'll come back and we'll have a little read from scripture. Okay, if you can just bring your conversations to a conclusion. I think this really relates to a lot of us, doesn't it? And have we got any interesting anecdotes that anybody wants to share at this point? Firstly, on the one about doing a race, taking part in a race. Is there anybody that wants to, or we're going to keep it still? Okay, let's think about life lessons for a moment. Just some life lessons that people have taken from running a race. Yeah, go for it, Ebs. You're not always fast. Definitely, Ebs. I can relate to that one. When I was at PE college, I was entered into a competition for 100 metres, and I went to Birmingham. I represented my college, and I was quite fast in those days, believe it or not, and I came last at a Birmingham arena, and I had a really decent time, but I just goes to show that for me was, yeah, right, okay, there's some fast people out there. So definitely, so that's a great life lesson. Yeah, fantastic. Anything else?
I was saying
that
how you
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Exactly, yeah. That could be personal, can't it? It could be sort of weather, it could be anything really. Yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. If you've run in a race and you've got a crowd, and it doesn't have to be many, actually. That's such an important thing. Just to be able to pick out somebody, you know, in that group that you know, that, or and people that you don't know as well. Yeah, exactly right. If you go to the big runs, London Marathon, other places, honestly, that is incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible. It buoys you up. It gives you the extra 10% you need. Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so there's something about other people, isn't there? Sort of like, you know, being part of that, yeah. Anything else? Too right. Too right. That is such an important thing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And kind of what your head does, you know, and you look down at your legs, you think, what are my legs doing? And like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, absolutely right. There's no replacement for decent technique, whether it's long or short, whether it's 100 metres or you know, 26.2 miles. Definitely your technique does help, and about the way you prepared physically. But there is something about this that definitely gets in your head, without a doubt. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? That's what I love about running, because actually you can do that. You know, I mean, I can think of other places where there's winners and losers, definitely. But there's something about, yeah, you do get a medal. Hold those things in your mind for a moment when we look at a passage in a second, yeah? We'll move on. I'm sure there's loads more we can talk about in regard to that. But just to think about the race for the world, race across the world for a moment. There were five pairs of competitors, for those that you who didn't see this. There were two good friends, there were two brothers, there were two pairs of dads and daughters, which I found absolutely fascinating, and there was a husband and wife couple. And they were competing to win a cash prize. But you could see the competitive nature they had when they got going. All of them actually wanted to win the race. And there was only one prize. There was no gold, silver, or bronze, although they've got a lot of publicity from it, I'm sure. They clearly took part in the experience, which is amazing. But there is numerous possible ways in which they were almost like caused to stumble during that race. And we see some of it, obviously, on the footage that they've shown us over the last number of weeks. But equally so, there was a lot of uncut stuff too, which I'm sure really kind of like resonated with the competitors. And so the competitors, for those of you that haven't seen it, were required to carefully take a route. Okay, they had the number of routes to take over each of the weeks, and they went across Canada, and they had to get to a certain place, in a certain amount of time. So they were definitely competing. They had to consider the terrain they were going over. Canada is a vast country, very, very different in terms of its terrain. It was mountainous, there was water, there were plains, there was the presence of people in the cities, there was the absence of people in the wilderness, whether they were up north at the Arctic Circle or they were in other areas of Canada. And there was the presence of absence of bears. There seemed to be bears everywhere and weird creatures. And the couple of brothers one of the guys was really concerned about this bear, and his brother walks off down a path, and this brother's worried about his brother because he thinks, well, hang on a minute, you know, you're talking about a serious bear that you might encounter. But so there were lots of challenges. They had to think about the weather conditions. They need to be organised with their money, so they had a budget. It was about, I think it was an airfare to get across Canada. And so they had to kind of like save money, but and a lot of them did actually blow their money on taxi fares where they couldn't find anybody to train travel or whatever. So they had to do that. If they kind of run low on money, they had to kind of like think about work and doing some different types of jobs, and they were getting money to, top up their budget. So there was lots of things that were going on for them. And because they were operating in pairs with people they knew, and because they were in unfamiliar environments, and they were also in familiar environments with the people they were with, there were times when they were having to deal with their own personal demons. And that was the quote from reunion. It was quite interesting when they were talking about that. Each of them had some really good times and some really difficult times. But they received a lot of encouragements on the way. They had people that helped them and supported them on the journey. There were also people that basically rejected them too. There was no doubt about that. They were welcomed into people's homes. It's really interesting just to sort of see sort of like how the Canadian people were so kind of like involved and invested in this. They became friends with the wider group. And they shared a unique experience with those people, that five pair, and probably the TV crews too. So that's a little bit of the background. Nikki, would you like to just come and read for us a few verses from Hebrews 12, please? Thank you.
Yeah, 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Thanks, Nikki. So in this short passage, the writer of Hebrews likens our life experience to a race that is marked out in front of us. And that's our common lot. All of us are in a race. Okay, and it feels like that sometimes, doesn't it, in London? It really does feel like, you know, there's a lot going on. But I think, you know, again, if you were to talk to anybody, it's a good image as this pilgrimage. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 says this: "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly." Now, I think it's an interesting first point there when we look at, you know, our passage that we're reading there about the great multitude of witnesses that are there, the people that have gone before us. And when you think about that TV series, those competitors, those pairs of people that are going across Canada, we recognise that actually we're observers. We are observers. We haven't done it. That, you know, the people that went before in the series before, yes, they've done it, although it was a different experience for them. But this is a unique set of circumstances for them. But we're the observers in that scenario. We do become emotionally present. That's definitely true. But we are observers. We're not taking part in the race that, you know, I've just shown you, or part of it. We've not done the race before them, and therefore do not have a full appreciation of what those people are going through. Now, in the passage of Hebrews, we all run that race, as I said. There's a cross-section of a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before, that have run the race of life, who very much have an appreciation of what that life has been like. It's unique to them about their life themselves. We never run exactly the same race, so there's a difference there. But they are witnesses, and they're witnessing the people that are coming through at the finishing line. And it's quite an interesting thought that, you know, that there are people being before us that have got to the end of the race of life. And I don't know how many billions that would have been. That blows my mind when I think about it. How many people have actually been on planet Earth? Maybe somebody knows this stat, but it's incredible. It blows my mind. Now, during the race across the world, the competitors do become bruised and battered and feel like giving up. And if I was to say that to you, if you've done any kind of like distance race, even if you've done like 3K or 5K, that's a big achievement in itself. But you sometimes can feel like giving up. You really can. It's one of those things that happens in races, in runs. And it's a similar scenario with other events too. If you're cycling or you're doing other forms of sport, you can feel like giving up. It's interesting on this that the brothers who have competed in a couple of the routes get to episode 3, and they're actually eliminated from the race about 800 kilometres from their destination, Banff. They're disqualified from the prize. I feel desperately sorry for them, but that is the nature of it. It's a competition. Okay, it's a race. That's what the way they set it up. Thinking about that passage that Nikki just read, I think there's three things I want to draw our attention to. And the first one is probably no surprise to you. The passage talks about fixing our eyes upon Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. He's the prize as well as the relationship. And throughout that letter, if you were to read the Hebrews, you'll see that the author of Hebrews signposts Jesus. And just by way of summary, if this is helpful, I hope it is, in chapter 1, the writer speaks about the supremacy of Jesus. He talks about Jesus being the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Furthermore, he's the author of creation. Or author of this race that we're, author of this place that we're in. Not only that, but he's greater than the angels and the prophets. Another term we give to Jesus is he's the great high priest, which gives us the understanding that he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. And for me, I always think that's fantastic that we can go to Jesus. He has an understanding of what it's like to be human, to go through some of the experiences we do. They won't be exactly the same, no doubt, but that gives me encouragement. And he's a compassionate saviour. He's one who took loving and excruciatingly painful action on our behalf and on that terrible cross. And we've seen the other side of this with Mary and about her own experiences. And we've been sort of focusing our attention on Mary too today, which I think is a really helpful segue just to think about sort of like the reality of our humanity and the struggles that we can face, as well as the joys too. He endures that cross, and he despises the shame, and we can confidently trust him. What I love about Jesus is that he reinstates our place as people of dignity, because every single person here has got dignity as a human being. You are all loved by God. He gives us dignity. He gives us purpose. We have infinite value in Jesus' sight. But not only that, only Jesus can actually perfect our faith. He's the great high priest that's gone before. He's the faithful sufferer and the Lord. And I guess our part in this is that the race that we're on is not passive, but it's living and it's active. Even now, as we're sitting here, as we're reflecting, or we're perhaps kind of like going away, because we're kind of, our minds are taken away from what we're thinking about today. That happens. Okay, even now, we are engaging in life. So that's the first point. The second point is that the writer urges us to throw off everything that hinders. And this is where I want to show you another clip. All right, so we've got Kevin and Claudia, okay, who are taking part in an interesting ceremony, you know, and I really love this clip. So let's just have a look at this one for a few minutes, yeah?
In Saskatoon, the nearest station from which to catch the Churchill train is 319 kilometres away. But Kevin has called for a pause.
I think I've got a bit stressed out about all the hitchhiking and garages and the train. I haven't really had sort of time out to think about ourselves. Clear your head, just, you know, it's enough to get you focused again, which is the nice thing.
I've been doing this whole Bear Grylls thing. And, yeah, I'm just enjoying the fire.
I'm sleeping in a teepee tonight. I mean, you can say that I slept in a teepee.
Their resting spot, Wanuskewin Heritage Park, celebrating the history of the indigenous peoples of the Northern Plains.
We have some muskeg tea.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There you go.
Their host is Cree artist, Kamisha.
6,000 years ago, my ancestors were hunting and foraging on these lands and living.
And maybe having a fire where we're sat now.
Who knows? Probably.
When or never. There's our teepee, and there's a deer. That is how close we are to the wild. We've completely chilled out. You know, I'm not in a race at the moment. I am enjoying every single minute of it, which is what we needed.
Yeah. Probably the last time we spent this much time together was when I was about 11.
What was your family dynamic like?
My parents got divorced when I was about 12, so I think by the age of 16, 17, I spent most of my time living with my grandparents.
You were very close with them?
Yeah. This is their 60th wedding anniversary. It's my favourite picture because they look so happy. They were more than grandparents, they were an additional set of parents to me.
Because I was always working away and never at home, my mum said to me, she said, Kev, Claudia needs consistency in her life, she needs stability, and you can't give her that. And to be honest, I had the best upbringing anyone could ever wish for, and I knew that with Claudia being my mum dead, she was also going to have the same upbringing.
It's obviously even harder now that my grandparents aren't here because there's no one to kind of push up my and dad's relationship anymore. This trip is an opportunity for both of us. I think my grandparents would be really proud of us.
You were very close with your grandmother, as was I, and it's my grandmother's birthday today. So I was wondering if you wanted to do a tobacco offering.
Yeah, we'd love that.
We'd love that.
So what we do, we think about all of the things you are grateful for, people you miss that have moved on to the spirit world, thank them. And as you're sprinkling it out into the earth, just keep all of those thoughts in mind. So this is called a grandmother song.
So you're not going to hear the grandmother song now, but it's certainly worth going back to. Okay, now that had real resonance, you know, with me. And there's loads of examples of this in this you know, series of sort of people kind of like, you know, having struggles in their relationships. That's normal. That is normal. That's and, you know, I'm sure that when you go through this, there are things that you think, oh, that triggers something that happened for me. And I find this incredibly powerful stuff. But thinking about Kevin and Claudia and their relationship, one thing that really sort of stood out for me was the fact that actually he was working hard. He was working hard away, okay, and, you know, he was doing what he thought was the right thing by his daughter. You know, he clearly felt that, you know, like he could get to a situation where, you know, his own parents would be, you know, supporting his daughter. And, you know, clearly, you know, she really struggled with that. And you can understand her sort of side of the story there. There's probably a lot more we could unpack. But he was thinking about, you know, what to do for the best. And it made me think about this whole thing about throwing off everything that hinders. Sometimes when we think about this in relation to our lives as Christians, we often think about the things, like the rubbish in our lives that we want to get rid of, we want to jettison. But there are also things that are also very good about our lives that actually we can almost like make into what we call idols. And something like, think, okay, I'm working hard here to do something for my family, providing for my family. None of us would take issue, I think, with that. It's an important thing to do, that we do work, that we provide, that we're able to, you know, like contribute, whether that's in, you know, sort of like, to a household or in families or whatever it might be. That's something that is praiseworthy. Just moving on a moment, I was just thinking about it in regard to self-care. Really made me think, actually, when James was talking about being a millennial, and I don't know how many of you would describe yourselves as millennials here, what I really liked about that was that he was referring to, self-care. It's a really important thing that we do, that we look after ourselves. Nobody would take that issue at all. But I wonder if sometimes that self-care can almost be almost too much. So maybe we can actually jettison Jesus, throw Jesus out with the bathwater, if you like, if you want to use that terrible analogy. So there's something about possibly elevating even our self-care. And I'm a great proponent for self-care as an older guy here. I don't think we should be sort of like thinking life is all about sacrifice. It is about recognizing the reality of when God says, when Jesus says, love God with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the yourself bit. So, so important. But we can possibly elevate even that above Jesus and fixing our eyes on Jesus. So that could be potentially the way that we hinder, or, you know, that we're hindered in our walk or our run with Jesus. And there are lots of other examples we might be able to give here. Let us therefore throw off everything that hinders. And if you were watching this series, there is one beautiful moment. I'm not going to show it now for the sake of time. There's one beautiful moment when Monique and Laddie, a father and daughter from Essex, are getting towards the checkpoint for the prize for that stage. They decide to basically take their backpacks off. They take their backpacks off because they're really heavy, and they leave them with their helpers on the way and say, can we pick them up after the stage has finished? And so you get these guys actually running to the checkpoint And of course, the other ones are struggling incredibly with the backpacks they have. And no wonder. And, you know, I mean, if you try running with a backpack, a heavy backpack, that ain't easy, okay? They might do that in the army, they might do that in the military, but honestly, that's... So I thought that was just a lovely moment there. And I think for me, it's Father's Day today. What's lovely as well about the episode is that, you know, Monique talks about the reality of her relationship with her dad and how much she appreciates, you know, what he's done, which I thought was incredible. So that was really moving. So there we go. There's a few things there. But we have to think in our minds about sort of like the things that can make us stumble in our race. And there are lots of things. They can be good things and they can be the bad things. The last thing I want you to say, and this is where it relates more to maybe what we call sin, which is a word that's quite commonly used by Christians in church, is about throwing off the sin that so easily entangles. For those of you that have run and done a lot of running, you might be able to relate to this, but there's nothing quite like running in not really hot weather, but warm weather, where you can basically put a singlet on or a loose t-shirt and you can wear a pair of running shorts and a pair of running shoes and that's it. You don't have to worry about all the, you know, the rain jackets and the, you know, the leggings and, you know, additional layers because of that's what it's like in the winter time. It's a freeing experience. The only thing I was saying to Nikki in preparation is that in my case, if it gets warmer, okay, I have to put the factor 50 sun cream on. And believe you me, if you get that in your eyes, that's not fun at all. You know, you've got the thing about, like, do I take the grease to make sure that I don't sweat too much into my eyes, though I wear the factor 50 and get burnt, you know, not, don't get burned. So you know what I'm saying. But there's something freeing about it. And here, the writer to the Hebrews is talking about throwing off the things that sin. So if you like, there's a metaphor there for us, you know, if you like, running lightly. And we could unpack that a lot more. Now, sin is a daily reality for us. We can use any number of different ways of describing what sin is. And the Bible does do that. It talks about sort of missing the mark. It talks about, like, you know, failing to reach a standard. It means don't trespass, don't step on or step over a line, if you like, or a boundary. So there's lots of different ways it's described. One thing I'm very much aware of is as I get older, I'm only too aware of the vulnerability of sin in my life, the tendency to sideline God and to justify the actions when I've sinned. It's a very, very raw, it's very real. And there's an old-fashioned term that people quite often use, is about besetting sins. It's the sins of your youth, the sins that kind of like are ingrained in your sort of like, you know, your journey, in your character. And you can often think, oh man, I've done it again. Okay, so, and it's something that is very much, you know, in us. That's something that, you know, just an observation from my point of view. We don't have to look too far to find out that we live in a beautiful, messed up world. It's obvious. We've all sinned, as the Bible says, and fallen short of God's amazing design for living. And the image I love to think about is the fact that actually God wants us to be the best we can be, how he intended for us to be created, which is beautiful, wonderful people that have got multi-talents. And, you know, actually, sin does mar, and it does disfigure, and it does change us, and it affects our relationships, and it affects all sorts of different things. And yet that wasn't God's design when he created this beautiful planet. An encouragement to you is something from the writer of Romans. He says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under law, but you are all, and myself included, are under grace. Our relationship with Jesus, the one that we fix our eyes on, means that we are under grace. And I think it really chimed in when Bernie was talking a bit there about going the distance, thinking about Mary going the distance in her relationship with her son and with the other disciples, the women, the male disciples. The writer of Hebrews says, okay, consider Jesus, who's endured such opposition from sinful men, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Yes, life can take that place where, you know, it gets tough. We get weary, we want to give up. And we almost feel like we want to give up in our relationship with Jesus. But we're encouraged to not grow weary and to not lose heart as the runner struggles with that in races. Jesus offers us the perspective of his presence with us as we go through the highs and lows of that race of life. The competitors in the race of life, the TV series, draw on the resources they have. They learn much more about themselves and each other and the capacity of kindness and welcome from strangers. We too can draw on all those resources, and in our very core, we have the spirit and love of Jesus in us, running with us, going ahead of us, and coming from behind us, encouraging us to keep going. Let's pray. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament says this: do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men and women stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our Lord, we just pray this week as we go out from this place, whatever the week looks like for us, we pray that you would help us in this race, that we race in such a way as to win the prize. Help us to consider others around us who are on that race too, that we will be people of compassion, that we will be encouraging one another to keep going, to not grow weary. And when people do grow weary, we just pray that we would be alongside them too, not as observers, but as participants in this race. So encourage us, we pray today, Jesus. And thank you that we can and should focus our eyes on you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.